In this lesson, we come to the chapter موقف أهل السنة من عالم إذا أخطأ أنه يعذر فلا يبدع ولا يهجر. And it is the chapter of the stance of the people of Sunnah, the stance of Ahlu Sunnah regarding a scholar when he makes a mistake or when he errs, is that he is excused and he is not to be deemed to be an innovator, and neither is he boycotted. And in the previous lesson, we spoke about al-rifq wal-leen, the importance of gentleness and leniency. And the author, Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad, hafidhahullah, he mentioned various ayat and ahadith, and also some statements regarding the importance of al-rifq wal-leen. And in this chapter, and this is page 42 in the English translation, the author is talking about if a scholar, alim, a scholar from Ahlu Sunnah, if he makes a mistake, if he falls into a mistake, if he opposes some of the other scholars, even if he fell into an innovation, as long as he is a scholar from Ahlu Sunnah, he's Sunni, then the stance of Ahlu Sunnah is that such a person, he's to be excused, and he's not deemed to be an innovator, and also he's not boycotted. And pay attention that this chapter is regarding a scholar from Ahlu Sunnah. So somebody who is known to be upon the Sunnah, known to have the correct aqidah, known to call to the usul of Ahlu Sunnah, he's known to speak against a shirk and the people of shirk, and innovations and the people of innovations. And if he makes a mistake, even if he falls into an error and makes a mistake, then how do Ahlu Sunnah react to this scholar? Sheikh Abdul Muhsin said that he is excused and he is not deemed to be an innovator, and neither is he warned against. And so we are not talking about a majhul, somebody who isn't known. And neither are we talking about, as I mentioned, somebody who is not known to be from the scholars of Ahlu Sunnah, or somebody who is just a da'i. And then if he calls to some innovation, that we say, but everybody makes a mistake. We are talking about alim min Ahlu Sunnah, an imam from the imams of Ahlu Sunnah, if he makes a mistake. An imam from the imams of hadith and fiqh and sunnah, and he makes a mistake. And before we actually read what the author said, the first point we have to remember is that any mistake against the Sharia by anybody, regardless of who it is, it has to be clarified and it is rejected. Because Allah said in the Quran, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, that you are the best of the ummah brought out for the people. Why? Because you order with goodness and you forbid the evil. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in the hadith of Ummul Mu'minin Aisha radiallahu anha, مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَهُوَ رَدْ. Whoever introduces an affair into this religion which is not in accordance with our affair, then it will be rejected. So regardless of who the person is, if he makes an error regarding the Sharia, regarding Islam, regarding the Sunnah, then that error has to be clarified. And that error is rejected and it's not accepted. Even if he was from the imams of the religion or a great scholar, but if he speaks against the Sunnah and he is mistaken, then the error and the mistake has to be clarified by the other scholars. But that scholar himself, what do we say regarding him? Just because he made an error or he fell into an innovation, even though he's a scholar from the scholars of Ahlu Sunnah, do we now say he's an innovator? Or do we say nobody should read any of his books or listen to any of his lessons anymore, or that this person is to be boycotted? So what should we do? And as I mentioned, we are talking about somebody who is known to be a scholar, known to be from the imams of the religion, not a majhul person who is unknown, or somebody who is aslan from the people of innovation and the people of Hizbiyah. And the author, he begins by saying, and this is a long chapter, So we won't read all of the chapter, we'll just take certain passages from the chapter. The author, he began by saying, لَيْسَتِ الْعِصْمَةُ لِأَحَدٍ بَعْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. That perfection is not for anybody after the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The only person who was perfect in his delivery of the Sharia was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And everybody who came after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, from Abu Bakr to the last of the people before Yawm al-Qiyamah, then nobody is perfect and nobody is protected from ever making a mistake. فَلَا يُسْلَمْ عَالِمٌ مِّنْ خَطَأٍ. And even a scholar, we cannot say that a scholar is free from any error. Every scholar, after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they will make some errors somewhere. وَمَنْ أَخْطَأْ لَا يُتَابَ عَلَى خَطَئِهِ. And whoever from amongst the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah, if he makes an error, then we do not follow him in that error which he has made. But at the same time, لا يتخذ ذلك الخطأ ضريعة إلى عيبه والتحذير منه. Although we don't follow him in that error and that mistake he made, but at the same time we don't use this as an avenue to start criticizing him and start warning against him and showing his mistakes to the people. بل يغتفر خطأه القليل في صوابه الكثير. Rather, these small errors which he makes, they are forgiven in comparison to the many, many good things which he has done. And this is a principle which many of the scholars, they mention, and even some of the Salaf used to mention, that if you have a person from the Sunnah, from Ahlul Sunnah, and he's a scholar, and he's a recognized scholar, and he's an imam of the religion, and he's known for his good works, his writings and his books and his defense of the Sunnah, and then he makes a mistake in one or two issues, even if they are minor innovations, then that which we hope with Allah is that his good deeds are so many, will wipe away these small errors which he made. And he said, وَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْ هَؤُلَاءِ الْعُلَمَاءِ قَدْ مَضَى فَيُسْتَفَادُ مِنْ عِلْمِهِ مَعَ الْحَذْرِ مِنْ مُتَابَعَةِ عَلَى الْخَطَى. That whoever from amongst those scholars has died and passed away, and we find in his works some errors, then يُسْتَفَادُ مِنْ عِلْمِهِ. You still benefit from his knowledge, but we have to be careful that we don't follow him in his errors. وَيُدْعَى لَهُ وَيُتَرَحَّمُ عَلَيْهِ. And we supplicate for that imam, and we say rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy upon that imam. وَمَنْ كَانَ حَيًّا. And as for if the person is alive, i.e. a scholar from Ahlul Sunnah, an imam from the imams of hadith, and he is alive, and then we find that he has fallen into some errors or fallen into a minor innovation, سَوَاءً كَانَ عَالِمًا أَوْ طَالَبَ عِلْمٍ. Regardless of whether he is a scholar or he is a student of knowledge, يُنَبَّهْ عَلَى خَطَئِهِ. Then he is to be told about his error, بِرِفْقٍ وَلِينٍ وَمَحَبَّةٍ, with gentleness and kindness and love, لِسَلَامَتِهِ مِنَ الْخَطَأَ وَرُجُوعِهِ إِلَى الصَّوَابِ, in order to bring him back from his error and bring him back to the truth. So if we have an alim, an imam, a talib al-ilm, who is from Ahlul Sunnah and he is known for the Sunnah, and known for spreading the truth, and he has many good works, and his defense of the Sunnah, and refuting the innovation, the people of innovation, and then he makes a mistake, then he is to be advised with gentleness and with leniency, and people still carry on benefiting from the rest of his works, but they don't follow him in that mistake. And neither do we say that this person has to be boycotted, and this person can never be cooperated with, and nobody should sit with this person. And then after this, the Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Hafidhullah, he mentions three major imams from our religion, and these imams are known by the Ummah, and the scholars to this day, they still benefit from their works, and they always quote their works, and also in our lessons we quote their works and their statements. But all of these three imams, they had some errors in some issues and some aspects of Aqeedah, and specifically Tawheed al-Asma wa-Sifat. He said, وَمِنَ الْعُلَمَاءَ الَّذِينَ مَضَوْا وَعِنْدَهُمْ خَلَلٌ فِي مَسَائِلْ مِنَ الْعَقِيدَةِ He said, from those scholars who've passed by, and yet they had certain shortcomings in issues in aqidah, وَلَا يَسْتَغْنِي الْعُلَمَاءَ وَطَلَبَةُ الْعِلْمِ عَنْ عِلْمِهِمْ And yet despite this, the scholars and the طلاب العلم are still in need of their knowledge. بَلْ إِنَّ مُؤَلَّفَاتَهُمْ مِنَ الْمَرَاجِعِ الْمُهِمَّةِ لِلْمُشْتَغِلِينَ فِي الْعِلْمِ Rather their works are great resources, important resources for everybody who is occupied in knowledge, are the following Imams, Al-Bayhaqi and Al-Nawawi and Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani. And these names, you'll hear them over and over again in khutub and lessons, sermons, lectures. Al-Imam Al-Nawawi Rahimahullah said, Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar Rahimahullah said, Al-Imam Al-Bayhaqi Rahimahullah said. And so the first of them is Al-Imam Ahmad Ibn Hussein Abu Bakr Al-Bayhaqi. And as the author mentioned, he had some errors relating to Al-Aqidah and Al-Asma wa Sifat. And yet, when Al-Imam Al-Dhahabi, when he wrote a biography of him, he said regarding him, هُوَ الْحَافِظ الْعَلَّامَةَ الثَّبَتْ الْفَقِيهِ شَيْخُ الْإِسْلَامِ Even though he had certain errors in Aqidah, yet he said, or in issues of Aqidah, he said, he is the Hafiz, he is the Allama, the great Imam, he is the one who is firm, he is the Faqih, and he is Shaykhul Islam. He said regarding him, and this is in your books, وَبُورِكَ لَهُ فِي عِلْمِهِ وَصَنَّفَ تَصَانِيفَ النَّافِعَةِ He was blessed in his knowledge, and he authored many beneficial books. And he also said, and this is still Al-Dhahabi, he said, فَتَصَانِيفَ الْبَيْهَقِي عَظِيمَةُ الْقَدَرِ غَزِيرَةُ الْفَوَائِدِ That the books of Al-Imam Al-Bayhaqi, they are of great status and of deep benefits. قَلَّ مَنْ جَوَّدَ تَوَالِيفَهُ مِثْلَ الْإِمَامِ أَبِي بَكَرِ And there are very, very rarely did people write like the writings of Al-Imam Abi Bakr Al-Baghdadi. فَيَنْبَغِي لِلْعَالِمْ أَنْ يَعْتَنِيَ بِهَاؤُلَى سِيَمَا سُنَنَهِ الْكُبْرَى So therefore, the scholar should attach importance to his book and especially as Sunan al-Kubra. This was the first imam from the imams of this religion. The second imam he mentioned is Al-Imam Yahya ibn Sharaf al-Nawawi rahimahullah. And Al-Imam al-Nawawi is famous, of course. He died when he was only 35 years old. He was only 35 years when he died, and it's known that he did not marry, and despite this he wrote many volumes and many books of fiqh and hadith, like, you know, Arba'in Nawawiyyah, Riyadh al-Salihin, Al-Adhkar. He also wrote the most famous explanation of Sahih Muslim. It is called Sharh Sahih Muslim. He also wrote Al-Majmu', and Al-Majmu' is a big compilation in fiqh, which is many volumes, over perhaps 30 volumes. And also Al-Dhahabi, when he wrote about him, he said that he is Al-Imam Al-Hafiz Al-Qudwa Shaykhul Islam Sahib Al-Tasanif Al-Nafi'ah. He is the Imam, the Hafiz, the Qudwa, the righteous model. He is Shaykhul Islam, the one who wrote many good books. And as for the third person, then he is Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani, from the famous Muhaddithin of the Shafi'iyya. And his greatest book which he wrote, without doubt, is Fathul Bari, the explanation of Sahih Al-Bukhari. And also, much good was said about this Imam. So these Imams, they were great Imams of the religion, big scholars of the religion, had many good works, good efforts, and yet they fell into some errors, into certain issues of Aqidah. And yet despite this, nobody said that we cannot read their books and you should not benefit from them, and their books are to be discarded and burnt. Rather, even until now, the scholars of Ahlus Sunnah, they still benefit from their books. And then the Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad, he mentions also another Imam from our time, just to show that nobody is free from error. He said, وَمِنَ الْمُعَاصِرِينَ And from the contemporary scholars is الشيخ العلامة المحدث محمد ناصر الدين الألباني رحمه الله. الشيخ الألباني المعروف. He said, لا أعلم له نظيرا في هذا العصر في العناية بالحديث. He says, I don't know anybody who is comparable to Shaykh al-Albani in our time when it comes to how much knowledge he had of hadith. And yet despite this, also Shaykh al-Albani was not free from error. And he fell into some errors which some of the other ulama, they spoke regarding. And the refutations which occurred between Shaykh al-Albani and Shaykh Hamoud al-Tawajiri, they are famous. That they would refute each other and correct each other. And this is the sunnah of the ulama. This is the way of the ulama since old. That there was disagreements and sometimes they would write against the mistakes that each one made and clarify the mistakes. And the Shaykh, he mentions that from some of the mistakes that Al-Imam Al-Albani made, he said, إِنَّ وَضَعَ الْيَدَيْنِ عَلَى الصَّدْرِ بَعْدَ الرُّكُوعِ بِدْعَةٌ وَالضَّلَالَةِ. This is a statement of Shaykh Al-Albani. He said that whoever places his hands upon his chest after the ruku', then this is an innovation and this is a misguidance. And nobody said this before Al-Albani rahimullah. And also he said that the one who prays more than 8 or 11 raka'at in Taraweeh, then he is sinning. And some of the, like for example, he said, whoever أَنَّ عَدَمَ أَخْذِ مَا زَادَ عَلَى الْقَبْضَ مِنَ الْلِحْيَةِ مِنَ الْبِدْعَ الْإِضَافِيَّةِ. That a person not cutting his beard after a fistful, then this is considered to be an innovation which has been added to the religion. So these statements, the ulama considered them to be wrong. And yet despite this, look at the adab, the manners that Shaykh Abbad, in the respect he has for Shaykh Al-Albani, he said, وَمَعَ إِنْكَارِي عَلَيْهِ قَوْلَهُ فِي هَذِهِ الْمَسَائِلِ. He said, despite me speaking against him on these issues, فَأَنَا لَا أَسْتَغْنِي وَأَرَى أَنَّهُ لَا يَسْتَغْنِي غَيْرِي عَنْ كُتُبِهِ وَالْإِفَادَةِ مِنْهَا. He said, me and also I see everybody else, nobody is free from benefiting from his books, meaning nobody is above from benefiting from the books of Shaykh al-Albani and his works. And this is despite Shaykh Abdul Muhsin disagreeing with him on these issues and also clarifying these issues. And the principle that we have with us is kullun yu'khadhu min qawlihi wa yurad illa sahib hadha al-qabr. The statement of Al-Imam Malik rahimullah, who said every person, his statement is either accepted or it is rejected. Every single person, his statement can be rejected apart from the one who is in that grave, i.e. the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And also to give you another example, a great famous scholar who died in the way of Allah, and we ask Allah to make him from the shuhada, Al-Allama Ihsan Ilahi Zahir rahimahullah. We ask him to accept him from the shuhada. And it's known the works he did in spreading Tawheed and warning against the innovators from the Rawafid and the Sufiyyah and the Qadianiyyah and the praise of the scholars for him. And yet despite this, there were some mistakes which occurred from him. On certain issues he did make certain mistakes. Yet nobody said that he was Ikhwani or he was Khariji or give him any of these names. He remains a great scholar and an Allama and an Imam of this religion. And therefore whoever considers him to be Khariji or Takfiri or Ikhwani, then he has oppressed the Shaykh Rahimullah. Why? Because we have the principle with us that if we have a scholar or an Imam from the Imams of the Sunnah and he is known for many, many good works and defending the Sunnah, then those errors which he falls into, then in al-hasanati yadhhabna sayyad, then good deeds, they wipe away the bad deeds. But on top of this, the error still has to be clarified. And the scholar, even if he's an imam from the religion, he's not followed in that error. But we don't treat him like the people of innovation. And then after this, the Shaykh Hafidhullah, he mentioned statements from the Salaf with this meaning. So he mentioned the statement of Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib rahimullah, and he died 93 Hijri. I from the early imams of the Tabi'een. He said, لَيْسَ مِنْ عَالِمٍ وَلَا شَرِيفٍ
وَلَا ذِي فَضْلٍ إِلَّا وَفِيهِ عَيْبٍ. He said, there is no scholar, there is no righteous person, there is no virtuous person, except he will have some shortcomings and some mistakes in him. وَلَكِنْ مَنْ كَانَ فَضْلُهُ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ نَقْصِهِ. However, the person whose virtue is much more than his deficiencies, ذَهَبَ نَقْصُهُ لِفَضْلِهِ. Then his deficiencies go away due to his great virtues. كَمَا أَنَّهُ مَنْ غَلَبَ عَلَيْهِ نُقْصَانُهُ ذَهَبَ فَضْلُهُ. Just like a person who has more deficiencies than virtues, then those deficiencies do away with his virtues. And they would say, and he said, فَمَنْ أَخْطَأَ قَلِيلًا وَأَصَابَ كَثِيرًا فَهُوَ عَالِمٌ. The one who makes a few mistakes and he's right in many things, he is the one who is a scholar. وَمَنْ أَصَابَ قَلِيلًا وَأَخْطَأَ كَثِيرًا فَهُوَ جَاهِلٌ. And the one who is right in only a few instances and his errors are more, then he is a jahil. And Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, and he died 181 Hijri, he said, إِذَا غَلَبَتْ مَحَاسِنُ الرَّجُلْ عَلَى مُسَاوِئِهِ لَمْ تُذْكَرَ الْمَسَاوِي. That if the many good deeds of a person overcome the few shortcomings of a person, then his shortcomings should not be mentioned. وَإِذَا غَلَبَتْ الْمَسَاوِي عَلَى الْمَحَاسِنِ لَمْ تُذْكَرَ الْمَحَاسِنِ. And also, if the errors and the deficiency of person overcome his good things, he has more deficiencies than good things, then his good things are not mentioned. And also from the Imams of the Salaf, Ishaq ibn Rahway, Al-Imam Ahmad said regarding him, and he died in 238 Hijrah or 241 Hijrah, Al-Imam Ahmad said, لَمْ يَعْبُرَ الْجِسْرِ مِنْ خُرَاسَانِ مِثْلِ إِسْحَاقِ. He said that nobody came over the bridge from Khurasan like Ishaq, meaning nobody was comparable from the people of Khurasan to Al-Imam Ishaq ibn Rahway in terms of his knowledge. And then he said, وَإِنْ كَانَ يُخَالِفُنَا فِي أَشْيَا. Even though he used to oppose us in certain things. So between him and Al-Imam Ahmad and his Imam Sunnah, there were some differences and some disagreements. And yet despite this, Al-Imam Ahmad, he praised him. So the point is that if you have an alim, a scholar from the Imams of the Sunnah, Hadith and Fiqh, known for spreading Tawheed, known for calling to the Sunnah, known for warning against innovation, and then he himself, he falls into error, makes a mistake, falls into an innovation, we don't say that now he is an innovator. Rather, his other works are still benefited from, and he's respected and loved, and the scholars advise him, but his error is not to be followed. So you have, for example, an innovator who is clear in his innovation, like the Khawarij, like the Rawafid. Their whole religion and the usul are based upon the usul of the Rawafid and the Khawarij and the Jahmi and so on and so forth. And they call to their innovation. Then these people, they are not listened to and they are not sat with, and their books are not to be benefited from, and they are boycotted. And then you have another innovator. He is an innovator, but he doesn't call to his innovation. He is an innovator and his usul are from Ahlul Bid'ah. He isn't known for the Sunnah, but he doesn't call people to his innovation. And you have this, you might have an innovator who calls to his innovation and spreads his mischief. And then you might have another innovator who is still an innovator in the same group, but he doesn't call to his innovation and he doesn't spread his mischief, but it is known that he is an innovator. This person, his mistakes are not made public. Why? Because by making his mistakes public, maybe you're spreading his innovation. As long as he is not calling to his innovation, the only person who he is harming is himself. So although we don't advise people to go and sit with him and study with him and read his books, but because he's an innovator, but because he's not calling to his innovation in public, then his innovations are not brought out in public. Why? Because then you're opening, like say, a can of worms. And maybe people will be tested by this person. And then you have somebody who is not known. So we don't know, is he from the innovators or is he from Ahlul Sunnah? And we see from him some good things, but we also see from him certain mistakes and certain errors against the Sunnah. This type of person, also knowledge is not taken from him. Because knowledge is only taken from a person who is known to be upon the Sunnah. And often this type of person, you might not see it now, but later on you will see and it will be clarified the mistakes and the errors of such a person. And from the Imams of the Salaf, those who used to say, they used to say statements like, "Man khufiya anna bid'atuhu," whoever's innovations are hidden from us, "Lam yukhfa anhu ulfatuhu," however his companionship is not hidden from us. So regarding a person, it isn't known regarding who this person is, and maybe he's hiding his innovations, but when we see him being with and following and cooperating with other innovators, then we know, or this is a qareena, this is an indication of where this person is. And then you have the fourth type of person who is a scholar from the scholars of the Sunnah. And he is known to be upon the Sunnah. And his works are known, and his defense of Tawheed is known, and his warning against innovation is known. And he falls into an error, or he falls into an innovation. Or in his ijtihad, he goes against some of the other scholars. This scholar, he is not to be warned against. And we don't say that he's to be boycotted or that nobody can benefit from his works, but his error is clarified and the scholars, they advise him. And Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, the author, he quotes, he mentions a quote on page 48. On page 48 of your English books, he says, وَمِثْلَ هَؤُلَاءِ إِذَا لَمْ يَجْعَلُوا مَبْتَدَعُوهُ قَوْلًا يُفَارِقُونَ بِهِ جَمَاعَةَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَيُوَالُونَ عَلَيْهِ وَيُعَادُونَ عَلَيْهِ كَانَ مِنْ نَوْعِ الْخَطَأِ. That scholar from the people of the Sunnah who fell into an innovation, as long as they don't make this innovation a statement by which they free themselves from the rest of the Muslims, or they start spreading the statement and they say, whoever doesn't agree with me, then he's an enemy and I free myself from him. And whoever does agree with me, then he's from upon the correct way. As long as they don't do this, then kana min naw' al-khata. Then this is just a mistake that a person fell into. So nobody's free from error. And many Imams who came before us, they fell into errors. But they didn't make this error, this innovation that they fell into, they didn't make this is their deen and this is their manhaj, and whoever agrees with them is from Ahlul Sunnah and whoever disagrees with them, he's from Ahlul Bid'ah. They didn't do this. So as long as this condition is fulfilled, then we say that this was an error that Imam fell into. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala yaghfiru lil mu'minin khata'ahum fi mithli dhalik. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he forgives for the believers these types of mistakes. And in the next paragraph, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he said, وَلِهَذَا وَقَعَ فِي مِثْلِ هَذَا كَثِيرٌ مِّن سَلَفِ الْأُمَّةِ وَأِمَّتِهَا. That these types of mistakes and these types of errors, many scholars and imams from the salaf of this ummah, they fell into them. لَهُمْ مَقَالَاتٍ قَالُوهَا بِاجْتِهَادٍ وَهِيَ تُخَالِفُ مَا ثَبَتَ فِي الْكِتَابِ وَالسُنَّةِ. And they have statements which they made according to their ijtihad, which opposed that which is established in the Quran and the Sunnah. بِخِلَافِ مَنْ وَالَ مُوَافِقَهُ وَعَادَ مُخَالِفَهُ. And this is in opposition to a person who, whoever agreed with him on this innovation, then he was with him, and whoever disagreed with him on this innovation, he held him to be an enemy. وَفَرَّقَ بَيْنَ جِمَعَلْتِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, and so on and so forth. He said also in the next paragraph, وَكَثِيرٌ مِّن مُجْتَهِدِي السَّلَفْ وَالْخَلَفْ. That many amongst the mujtahideen, i.e. the great scholars and the imams from the salaf and the khalaf, qalu wa fa'alu ma huwa bid'ah. They said that which was an innovation, and they did that which was an innovation. Walam ya'lamu annahu bid'ah. But they did not know that it was an innovation. Why? إِمَّا لِأَحَادِيثٍ ضَعِيفَةٍ ظَنُّوهَا صَحِيحًا. Perhaps due to weak ahadith which they considered to be authentic ahadith. وَإِمَّا لِآيَاتٍ فَهِمُوا مِنْهَا مَا لَمْ يُرَدْ مِنْهَا. And perhaps they understood from a particular ayah that which was not to be understood from it. وَإِمَّا لِرَأْيٍ رَأُوا. Or because of a particular opinion that they had. فِي الْمَسْأَلَةِ أَوْ فِي مَسْأَلَةٍ نُصُوصٌ لَمْ تَبْلُغْهُمْ. Or maybe there were some evidences for a particular issue which didn't come to them, and so on and so forth. But at the end of the day, he says, Shaykh Hussain Taymiyyah, إِذَا اتَّقَ الرَّجُلُ رَبَّهُ. As long as a person fears his Lord as much as he is able to do so, he enters into the saying of Allah, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِن نَسِينَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. O our Lord, do not hold us accountable if we forget or if we make an error. And in the Sahih, Allah mentions, Allah will say, قَدْ فَعَلْتُ. I have done so. Meaning, I will not hold you accountable for your error and your mistake. So, the point behind all of this, to summarize, is that if you have an alim, he's a scholar, from the ulama, imam, from the a'imma, and he's known for the sunnah, he's known for hadith, he's known for defending it, he's known for righteous actions, good books, speaking against shirk and the innovators, and then he makes a mistake, he contradicts or opposes the Quran or the sunnah in something, in a particular issue, he falls into an innovation, then we don't say that just because he fell into an innovation he has now become an innovator. Rather we say, like the Salaf used to say, that his minor mistakes that he's falling into are overlooked and forgiven and expiated due to the many great good deeds that this person has. Yet at the same time, he isn't followed in that innovation, and that mistake isn't accepted from him, but he's corrected and rectified and advised with love and honor. And again, all of these statements, they are not regarding somebody who isn't known. Rather, it is regarding an alim and an imam from the a'imma of as-sunnah. And we finish with the statement of Al-Hafidh Ibn Rajab Al-Hanbali, right at the end of the chapter. He said, وَيَأْبَ اللَّهُ الْعِصْمَ لِكِتَابٍ غَيْرَ كِتَابِهِ. That Allah refuses to give perfection to any book apart from His book. Anybody else who authors a book after the Quran, there will be some error in that book. Because Allah has only guaranteed perfection for His book. So there will be mistakes and there will be errors in any other book which is written. وَالْمُنْصِفْ مَنْ اغْتَفَرَ قَلِيلَ خَطَأِ الْمَرْءِ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِّنْ صَوَابِهِ. And the just person is the one who forgives the few mistakes of a person because of the many issues in which he was right upon. And the same is said, like you said, regarding these imams. Al-Imam al-Nabawi rahimullah, from the imams of hadith, from Ahlul Sunnah, and yet he agreed with the Asha'ira on certain issues. And nobody said that he is now to be boycotted and his books are to be thrown away. Rather we say, rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy upon him. And that his many good deeds will forgive his other mistakes that he fell into, and the other imams and the other scholars of our time or the previous generations. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.